evening, everyone. Good to see everybody. Good to see everybody tonight. Let me roll my pulpit over a little bit. Got it on wheels. Got our cart here. But so good to be here tonight, and a tremendous blessing to have the Peppers with us this evening. And they have a unique ministry, a much needed ministry. I don't know. I guess it was, we were at Pleasant Hill, if y'all remember. Then I came out and helped you guys with handing out tracts. I tell you, my feet were so sore that day. I believe we did about 6-7 hours of it. What a blessing. And then with the three doors, you guys still do that? Awesome. And... But nonetheless, God knows what He's doing and sent them by this way tonight. And now, I'm very good with last names, Peppers. But first names, I knew that. And I knew that. But let me just dive right into some updates and let you know what's going on. Be quite honest with you, I'm prepared tonight. But I've been up since around midnight-ish. Brother Ed went home to be with the Lord. And let me just say this. I asked Brother Vernon if he would to stand tonight and share what's on his heart, whether that's their ministry they do or just a word from the Lord. I said, whatever's fresh on your mind, and if you'd be something you're interested in. And, of course, he said yes. Appreciate that, brother. But at 1:21 this morning, Brother Eddie Sandvey. Miss Marianne said he loves to be called Eddie, and so I make sure I say Eddie. But Brother Eddie, went home to be with the Lord, and got the phone call from Miss Cassie, and then, you know, them late night calls, you know what those are. And so we got up, we went over there and spent some time, and nurse and the funeral home came, and so they took Brother Eddie out. But this morning they went on down to Winkenhofer to do some talking and basically paper signing. Everything was already in order. And Brother Eddie's memorial service is going to be here on Saturday the 28th. I sent out a call and post earlier. And, of course, it's on our church Facebook page. But it's going to be here. Miss Marianne said it's not a funeral. It's not a funeral. And she says this is a memorial service. She says she wants a lot of singing. And so everybody knows, well, the Peppers who we're talking about tonight, Brother Eddie was 89, getting ready to celebrate his 90th birthday. And they became members here maybe 3 years ago. And for about 6 months, Brother Eddie could talk, you know, carry on a conversation, all those good things. And then he had an aneurysm, and they went in for surgery with that and fixed that. But then he had several strokes. But Brother Eddie, y'all know this, we would look over here, and occasionally he would come through the door in a wheelchair, Miss Marianne bringing him in here with a smile on his face and waving at everybody. What an inspiration. God has allowed the Sandveys to be with us. And the short while we had Brother Eddie, just to be an absolute inspiration, encouragement to us. I tell you, I have no excuse tonight not to be in church. If that man could suffer what he suffered, couldn't speak, lost his voice, I know that has to be frustrating. Trying to say something and nobody knowing what it was they're trying to say. And so this is going to be a home-going service. And Miss Marianne, they're going to have people coming from, I believe, New Jersey or New York and then Florida. So we got them coming from the north and the south. And but we're going to have the ladies, our ladies group sing. And I want to talk to Brother Allen possibly about getting the choir to sing. And I tell you, it's going to be a good time. But Brother Eddie is not suffering. I told Miss Marianne he's speaking, he's walking, he's talking, And I'm sure he has a lot to say to us when we get there. And but what a blessing. And then on Monday, I believe it was, Miss Cece Prestridge, her mother, Dory, I believe it is, Dory Bridgman from Panama City, Florida. She passed away on Monday. Her services are going to be in a local cemetery there in Panama City. It's a small graveside service. That's what her mother wanted, and so and again, I put that on the column post as well. So just trying to keep up with these two families and just continue to pray for them. They bragged on you, bringing meals. Coming by, talking, calling, praying with them. I'm so proud of my church tonight. I really am. Just everybody pitching in, and not just for the Sandvies, but for the Bendies, our younger couple. Brother CJ went by there a couple weeks ago, and Brother Michael asked, "How much would you charge to cut our grass?" And he just cut it for free. And so, what a blessing! What a blessing it is to be the arms and feet of the Lord. And so tonight, let's remember those two families, three including the Bendies. And let's remember Miss Connie Teague. She's doing much better, recovering from all of her surgeries and injuries she's had recently. Miss Helen Bennett, Randy and Diane Ely. Of course, our children's home. Let's remember all of our children, staff, and all. Continue to remember Miss Nancy, Brother Bobby, and their daughter, Kelly and Tanner, in our prayers. I see Miss Cece here, but Miss Cece and Chuck, again, the passing of her mother. David and Glenda Henderson, remember Miss Glenda, especially. Brother David called me before church, and it's that annual, I'll say it that way, but the anniversary of passing of her son. And at that time of year, again, I should just say. But they stayed home tonight to just be to themselves with a little bit of solace and reflection. So remember them. Leonard and Dolores Palmer, I seen where today she was going to have some shots in her leg and back, thereabouts. I told her we'd pray for her. Of course, Brother Leonard as well, with all of his things he has going on. James and Shirley Townsend, Johnny and Pat Eccles, Mary Kelly, Don Daly, Rusty and Chris Watkins, Randy and Janet Bailey, Melissa Slagle, Don and Carla Rich. They are here in the U.S., and what a blessing to have them. And so the Wednesday that we're going to be out of town for vacation, Lord willing, Brother Don will be bringing the lesson on Wednesday night. And, of course, Brother Snyder on Sunday morning and Sunday night. That's the 5th of June. So it's funny. I know we're in May, but I'm thinking we're in June. Oh, goodness. So we'll get... Yes. We'll get balanced out somehow here. But Claudia Darby, Barbara Anderson, Jenny Clanton, Gerald and Francis Carroll, all of our shut-ins, those in the military, and, of course, Brother Kevin Brook that was here Sunday and has been attending Champion Christian College in Arkansas. Very proud of him. Maybe someone tonight has something to mention, a praise, a prayer request. That's not on our prayer bulletin. Yes, I have. Thank you very much for that. Don't know who all received messages or not, but right after the surgery, it was pretty harsh. But today, Miss Jackie said, she texted me, she said, "Well, Brother Jack woke up and kind of cracked a grin and was feeling much better. Said the doctors, the nurses stayed with him all night to make sure he wasn't in any pain, and he started asking about food." So when you're asking about food, you're doing good. doing much better. Thank you for asking that. Anybody else? Kind of lower on number tonight. Different things going on, different people. But I just want to praise the Lord for Brother Richard that joined this past Sunday. Praise the Lord for him. And we had a few visitors, and that was two of them. It was their second time. And then Brother Fletcher, I don't want to call out his age, I'm not sure, but he's in his 80s. I'm pretty definite. But he says he has to get to this church. He's been watching it online, and so he was here, and he's starting to say this is his church. So good things are happening. Good things are happening. All right. Anybody else? Don't want to cut off our time together. Remember the teenagers downstairs and the teachers, and let's just remember one another in prayer daily. And this coming up Lord's Day, this will be our Youth Sunday. So Sunday morning and Sunday night, Brother Brian in the morning, Brother CJ in the evening. And so we're looking forward to that. All right, all that would and would like, you can join me in the altar, or you can pray right where you're at, however comfortable level you need. Blend in.
120. All three verses.
I heard the Lord. Good evening, folks. I do want to say I do count this an honor and a privilege to stand up here. It's not something I take lightly. This is an awesome responsibility to stand and proclaim God's word. And I do try to do my best, but I'm not a preacher, and when I get done tonight, you'll say amen to that. But the Lord, having his way, will say something meaningful here tonight. So if you'll just pray with me for just a moment, please. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we do thank you for loving us. Thank you for sending your Son, Jesus, to die for us. Thank you, Lord, for the victory you've given to us. Pray now that you'll just bless as I speak these few words to these people, that they might be blessed, that you might speak through me. Use me, Lord, for your honor and glory, and just have your way. Lord, I'm nothing. You're everything. Have your way in all that's said and done. In Jesus' name, amen. I'd like to speak to you just for a few moments out of the book of Proverbs. So if you got your Bibles, let's go ahead and turn to the book of Proverbs. And we're going to take a quick journey through Proverbs here for a few minutes. I don't know how familiar you are with the book of Proverbs, but there's quite a number of verses in Proverbs that speaks about slothfulness, the sluggard, laziness. And if you look at chapter 12 and verse 27, he says, "The slothful man roasts not that which he took in hunting, but the substance of a diligent man is precious." Over in chapter 18 and verse 9, he says, "He also that is slothful in his work is brother to him that is a great waster." Not being diligent, God says, is the same thing as being wasteful. In chapter 19 and verse 15, he says, "Slothfulness cast into a deep sleep, and an idle soul shall suffer hunger." Look down a few verses to 24, and he says, "A slothful man hides his hand in his bosom, and will not so much as bring it to his mouth again." Slothfulness is a sin. That's what God is teaching us. But my favorite verse here amongst these is found in chapter 22 and verse 13. And he says almost exactly the same thing in chapter 26 and verse 13. He says, "The slothful man says, there is a lion without. I shall be slain in the streets." And that's not just laziness. That's looking for whatever excuse you can find not to do God's work. Now, I was talking to Brother Justin here just before service, and we were talking about those who have stop coming to church because of COVID. Now, I told them that there's an awful lot of that going around. We see a lot of it as we go from church to church. And what we have concluded is they're just looking for an excuse. And when someone is looking for an excuse, they can always find one. "A lion is without, and I shall be slain in the streets." Now, what do you think chances of there actually having been a lion there? I don't think there were any lions in the streets. But I really want to take you to chapter 24 and verse 30. Chapter 24 and verse 30. And we're going to read down a little ways. He says, "I went by the field of the slothful, and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding. And lo, it was all grown over with thorns, and nettles had covered the face thereof. and the stone wall thereof was broken down. Then I saw and considered it well. I looked upon it, and I received instruction. Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall your poverty come as one that travels, and your want as an armed man. Now I think all of these verses have more than one application. It certainly talks to being diligent in this life and working for things. We're not to be layabouts. Paul told us that he who will not work shall not eat. And so we need to be busy about taking care of our families and doing the work that we have to do. But I really think that God is not so much interested here in our physical labor than in our spiritual labor. He is wanting us to understand that we are not to be slothful in our spiritual life. Now, when we go back and look at some of these verses, you know, like I said, chapter 22 and verse 13, it talks about the fear he had. And 19 and 24 is he not even got enough initiative to feed himself. And 19 and 15 says it puts us in a deep sleep. And an idle soul shall suffer hunger. Well, an idle soul shall suffer hunger, not the idle body. The soul shall suffer hunger. That means that when we are idle in our service for God, we're going to suffer spiritual hunger. In order to not be idle there, we need to be busy about doing our Bible reading, our church attendance, our attendance to prayer. And I know I'm preaching to the choir. I'm preaching to those who are here tonight, not to those who are laying out. But you're all I got, so we're just going to have to deal with that. But when we look back in verse 30, chapter 24 and verse 30, he says, I went by the field of the slothful and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding. Now, when we consider the vineyard for just a moment, I want to think about the vineyard. If you have read much in the Old Testament, you know that God likens Israel to a vineyard. It says that the vineyard that he planted grew and covered the entire land and was fruitful, bountiful. And we see here a parallel in the New Testament times of a church. The church is a vineyard that God expects to be prosperous, to spread out over the land, and to bring forth fruit. God wants to see us bring forth fruit in his vineyard. Not for our benefit. It's his vineyard. It's for his benefit, for his glory. You know, I forget where I heard it. I know Jeanette can remember. But God exists to bring himself glory. That is what God exists for. That's his purpose, is to bring himself glory. And he wants to do that through us. He gives us this great privilege of serving in his vineyard. And being able to then build it up, spread it out, and bring him the fruit of it. But when he went by the vineyard of the slothful man, the man void of understanding, there's something you need to tie together. He's slothful. He's lazy. He's also void of understanding. They go together. So anyway, he went by this vineyard, and it was all grown over with thorns, and nettles covered the face thereof. Now, thorns and nettles are pokey things. They poke you. Briars, if you will. Now, there was another place we hear about thorns, and it wasn't nettles, but it was real close, and that's the curse on the earth that God put on the earth. He said that all it's going to bring forth is thorns and thistles. And this word nettles is very closely related to thistle. So thorns and thistles are what we get when we do what we do and not allow God to do what he does. When we don't dedicate ourselves to him and his glory, but when we go about living our lives the way we want to live them, we're going to produce thorns and nettles. That's all we're going to do. And you know, when I think about the thorns, I think about another set of thorns that was wound into a crown put on my Savior's head. These things represent sin. They represent the evil in the world. And it's when we are not busy about building up this vineyard, the world is going to take it over. And if you don't think that the world isn't taking the church over, get out and visit a few. I mean, we go to churches, and sometimes we wonder how they can call themselves a church. You go in, and they don't sing songs of Zion. They don't preach the word. They have social gospel. I'm sure you've heard that term. Some years ago, we went to Denver to a conference, and it stretched over Sunday, so we were headed off to church there. But since we were staying in a hotel right there in downtown Denver, we didn't have a car. We had to walk to the church. So we found a Baptist church that was about half a mile away. It was across the Capitol Square there in Denver. And as we started walking over, we didn't know that we were going to walk right through the middle of the Gay Pride parade. But we got over and we went to that church, and all they talked about was the good works they could do in society. That is not the business of the church. The business of the church is to spread the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and to tell people about him. And that's what we are supposed to be doing. And when we don't do that, the world will take over our church. And the stone wall thereof was broken down. The stone wall is the walls that protect it. When we are not doing God's will, when we're not doing God's business, and we're not out working for him, he'll tear down the walls. They'll fall down. We'll lose our protection. God promises to take care of us. But you know, all of his promises come with a catch.
Yes.
And that's to, we've got to do his will. We've got to live according to his commands. That was what happened to Israel. They did not live according to God's commands, and he allowed them to be hauled off to Babylon. Actually, Israel was hauled off to Assyria and spread about, and Judah was hauled to Babylon, all because they were being slothful and not serving God. So this man who's walking by, whom I believe to be Solomon, he said, "Then I saw and considered it well. I looked upon it, and I received instruction." We need to look and receive instruction. We need to look upon what's going on around us and receive instruction. As we see church after church folding up, and we see a lot of them folding up,
yes.
We see these churches that are closing. I forget the statistic, something like 1,000 a week close in the U.S. These churches are closing because they were not preaching the gospel. We're not busy about God's work. Now, I'm not talking about you aren't preaching the gospel in the pulpit. I'm quite sure that you have a preacher that preaches the gospel in the pulpit. I'm talking about us, each and every one of us. God has called all of us to preach his gospel, not just your pastor. Your pastor's been called to preach the gospel. He's been called to pastor this church. But every one of us has been called to tell people about Jesus, to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. And when we're not doing that, then that's when our wall breaks down. That's when the thorns and nettles come. And we need to look at these churches that are not doing that and are closing their doors and realize that this is an evil world and that God is not going to prosper us if we're not serving him. This nation used to serve God pretty good. Doesn't anymore. And I look for the walls of this nation to fall down. I look for the thorns and the nettles to overtake this vineyard here of this country because we no longer reverence God. But whether this country goes for God or not, it does not stop us from going out and reaching souls for Christ. And that's what we need to be busy doing. So the instruction he received, a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep, so shall your poverty come as one that travels and your want as an armed man. I don't know about you, but I don't want any poverty. Now, this isn't poverty of my pocketbook. This is poverty in my soul, which is worse. You know, God told the Israelites that I will send you leanness of soul. He's going to do the same thing to the church if the church does not stay busy about his work. And not just poverty coming as one, it comes as one that travels. That is to say, it just comes running in. And then it leaves us in great want, as if we had been held up by a bandit. That's what he's saying here in this chapter, in these few verses here. So we need to be busy about reaching out to people. Now, it just so happens that we have a way to help you out on that a little bit. Jeanette and I are missionaries to fairs and festivals. What we do is we rent a space at fairs and festivals around town. We just finished one down in Hampton just a couple of weeks ago. It was a 10-day fair. We rent the space. We set up our booth. And we have a display that helps us to get into the spiritual conversation. It is designed to have you in a spiritual conversation within 30 seconds, which is pretty amazing, frankly. I don't know if you ever try to talk to somebody and steer a conversation to spiritual matters, but it usually takes a little while. But when you're in a fair, you don't have a little while. If you've got 30 seconds with them, you're doing real good. They're not interested in spiritual things. They're interested in the rides. They're interested in their funnel cake, their candy apples, and their fried Oreos, and all the other things they're there at the fair for. And so it takes something that gets their attention immediately and immediately puts them in a spiritual conversation. And our display does that for us. And then we ask them about their spiritual condition. We actually ask them to quantify it. We ask them, are they 50, 75, or 100% sure they're going to heaven when they die? And that forces them to think about their own spiritual condition for a moment. And very few people say they're 100% sure, though we have some, and praise the Lord for them. Some say they're 100% sure, and they're no more sure than my dog is. They don't know anything about going to heaven. They just, you know, I'm a good person, or I do good works, or I go to Mass every Sunday. And, you know, these things that are all works, and God doesn't honor those. But anyways, we ask them that, and once we have an answer from them, it gives us the opportunity to ask them, would they like to know for sure they're going to heaven? And at that point, if they are willing, we bring them into the booth, sit down with them, take the Bible, and show them how they can know for sure they're going to heaven, how they can know Jesus Christ as their own personal Savior. That's what we do. Now, we cannot do this work all by ourselves. As I said, the fair we just finished up was 10 days long. That's some 100 hours or something like that. You said it, Justin, 6 hours on your feet and you were beat, right? Some of the days are 12 hours long. When we're out presenting the gospel, we're on the front lines of the battle. We are fighting on the front line. And when you come to do that, you have to be prayed up, you have to have your armor on, and you have to be prepared and ready for whatever the Satan slings at you, because he's going to sling it at you. And you're going to run into everything that you could possibly think of, and some you can't. But the two of us cannot keep up the pace, particularly not at my age. We can't keep up the pace. We need help. And so we ask the churches around the fairs to come out and spend 3 hours working in our booth. That's all we ask, just 3 hours. Can you make a short-term mission trip all the way to Jim R. Miller Park for a total of 3 hours there? Is that too much to ask? Is that too much to give to your God, the one who died for you, one who took your sin upon him, the holy God who took your sin upon him so that you might have his righteousness and thus his life? And here we have an opportunity for you to give back a little bit to him. And we ask 3 hours. Now, the North Georgia State Fair is the fair I'm referring to over at the Jim R. Miller Park. It comes up in late September. And we're looking for those who want to come out and help us to win souls. And so we invite you to come with us. It's a blessed time. It's a fun time. And let me tell you, there is nothing like when you get the opportunity to introduce somebody to your Lord. There's nothing better on this earth that you can do. I mean, that is the greatest thing in the world, to lead somebody to the Lord and tell them about Jesus. What could you do that would be more fun, more enjoyable, and more blessed, and serve your Lord all at the same time? And so we just ask you to come out and give us a hand. Think about it. I would say pray about it, but, you know, we don't really have to pray about it. God has already told us to go. So make plans to be out and help us at the park. Thank you. I appreciate your time, Brother Justin.
enjoy that tonight. Say amen. Amen. We appreciate that, brother. Thank you for stepping in. And I do believe it was God ordained tonight. And definitely to fan the flame of soul winning. And I tell you, it was enjoyable that day. And all kinds of people. I'm sure y'all have stories after stories. But, yeah, we'll have to I want to make sure I still get you guys a newsletter and where you're going to be at. I'm pretty sure we can recruit us a group. I know Brother Jeff is interested. I can tell. And but it's just a great time, great, great time. And thank you for the word tonight, brother. Really appreciate that. Anybody have anything they like to say? Good question.
That is a good question. We haven't been to the North Georgia State Fair, so we don't really know. not in years. But at the Georgia State Fair in Hampton, which is in the fall, now we did one, same company put it on, same place, one we just did. At that fair, we handed out over, at this past one, we handed out over 4,000 tracts. Mm. We had 37 numerous conversations about people's spiritual conditions. The one in the fall is about twice as big. I estimate we probably had about 50,000 people come to this in the spring. The one in the fall is about 100,000. They tell me that the North Georgia Fair is 400,000 people going to be coming to
it. Wow.
I mean, if we're going to see 400,000 people, it's going to be wall-to-wall people.
Yes, sir.
Yes, it is.
And so it's numerous, numerous people. Mondays will be a little slow, but the rest of the time it'll be pretty busy, and it builds up during the week. It builds up to Friday night and Saturday. It's absolutely crazy. We wind up on a Sunday. We go for 2 weekends. We start on a Friday and go through the following week up to the Sunday. And we just see many, many people. I'm hoping to hand out over 20,000 trucks.
That's awesome. And two, I was thinking, you know, what we learned from working with you guys. I mean, it's a training to go out in our daily lives and use the same kind of approach, really.
Yes.
And it's a good time to really, you know, like an icebreaker, get you warmed up to talking with people, because you know you guys were there, and I can't remember how many people I talked to last the time I was with you, but it was very encouraging. Very encouraging. So we just thank the Lord for y'all coming this way tonight, and we'll double check, make sure we have your information. And of course we could support the ministry as well. So if any individuals like to do that, or of course we're interested as a church, but anyway, thank you guys for coming. Anything else tonight? Anything else at all? Alright, well, we'll be dismissed in a word of prayer, and everybody have a great night, drive safely, and pray about this coming Sunday. But hey, tomorrow can be Sunday as well.
Amen.
Each and every day is the day the Lord has made. Father, we love you tonight. We thank you, Lord. We're so very thankful for the opportunity, the doors you've opened to share the gospel. God, we're so behind, so behind. Keep it on the forefront of our minds, heavy on the heart, each and every day. God, I thank you for the Peppers, Lord, and just their consistency, Lord. Just steadfast, continuing on. That's so encouraging, even to a young man such as I. I pray that you bless their ministry continually as you are. I pray that you give them souls for the labor. Lord, give us souls for our labor. Lord, help us labor, oh Lord. And just knowing that you could return at any moment. God, help us just give the more diligence. We love you tonight. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.